Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of the Borderline Podcast. I'm a little confused because I'm lost for words at my guest. I really don't know how to introduce him. Someone who's been off the Irish airwaves for far too long. Someone I used to listen to religiously, and I thought I'd never have the chance to speak to him. Basically, a god of broadcasting. I don't think that's overselling him. Welcome, Michael Graham.
Well, the good thing about you being at a loss for words is, as you know, I have plenty for everybody. So at this point, I'd be willing to just take over the whole thing. We don't even need two people for this, Gareth. I can just rock this thing.
That's completely fine with me. Listeners, yeah. By the way, before you record a podcast, my editor asks me to have 5 seconds of silence just so as he can get the levels and cut out any background noise. It took me about 15 minutes there of talking to get Michael to be silent for 5 seconds. So hopefully we'll have enough to talk about as we keep going.
Okay, so the actual truth is I didn't stop talking. I just turned off my microphone for 5 seconds. So it was still going on. You know, when I first got in radio, I fell into it backwards. I was running political campaigns for a living, and I'd never been in a radio studio. I didn't know nothing. I was just a guest. You know what I mean? I was frequently a guest. And so they said, why don't we give you a show? And they kept saying, hit the post. And I was like looking around the studio. Is there something post-like? Is it like a reference to the 1880? I couldn't figure it out. I finally figured out what they meant was you're supposed to talk up to a point when the ads are going to start. And that's the post. I had no idea. I just kept talking until they turned my mic off. So it'd be like, blah, 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 and then just stop. And then the ads would end and they come back. Blah, 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 blah. I had no clue. I'm supposed to stop talking? I had no clue.
So. Well, actually,
and yet somehow I managed to pay my bills in radio for 15 years.
So. I don't know if I can actually turn your mic off with this recording software, so you don't have to worry about that. You can keep talking.
If you set your expectations low enough, you can always succeed. That's been the motto of my entire. I have ridden the mediocrity of others straight to the top. The fact that I was willing to suck just a little less than most people in my industries has allowed me to pay my bills thus far.
Well, I mean, thankfully you can talk because there's really not a lot going on in the world right now for us to talk about. Is there?
Well, not over here in the good old US of A, where we still maintain our per capita COVID lead over Ireland by a narrow amount. We're just barely ahead of you on a per capita basis.
I mean, we certainly can trust those figures because our health service executive are very well known for being extremely accurate in everything.
I happen to know that the Irish Department of Health fact checks the Chinese Department of Health to make sure their numbers are, in fact, accurate and trustworthy.
Yeah,
so that's where we are. So here's what's interesting to me that I wanted to ask you about is, so in the States, COVID, the media know that they have to talk about COVID because it's there and it's still killing people every day. And it's going to be with us at least until the winter. And I saw a new story this recently that it's probably going to take 2 years before there's a widely available, broadly effective vaccine. But at the same time, the media are so done with COVID over here. They are ready to move on. They want to talk about the Black Lives Matter protests and Donald Trump and politics. You've got the bizarro coalition, you know, DC Comics, Marvel Comics joined together politics you guys are doing. Has that pushed COVID to page, you know, A2 as opposed to A1?
No, but no, obviously the first thing we have to talk about is Trump. Because he's pure evil, and that's number one.
Of course.
That remains. It doesn't matter if people are dying from this weird virus or anything. It's not as bad as anything Trump has done. And quite rightfully so, our Irish media talks about Trump above all else, which is fantastic. So, no, COVID, yes. Well, as you probably know, the pubs are still closed. Mm-hmm. So things are very confusing for everyone. We really don't know what to talk about.
You think they're confusing? You think they're confusing for you? Try being the guy who's getting rousted by the New York City health officials because he let his outdoor bar seating have two more people than allowed under the rule, and a block away, 10,000 anti-Trump protesters are marching through the streets, chanting and screaming, and nobody cares. Yeah. Try being that guy.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I had four people at a four top, and you're busting me, and they've got 40,000 people chanting, spitting, and screaming, and they're cool. That's America under Trump.
Yes, we did. We did have a few marches here, which people did question. Why would these people, the same people marching who were insisting that we couldn't open the pubs again? But obviously, that was very quickly put down because only a racist would ask such a question in the first place. So,
Good point.
We don't talk about those things anymore. Okay. So, Boston, then, are you? You're still in Boston, or have you?
I'm in the greater Boston suburbs, which is my euphemistic way of saying that 35 minutes north of Boston is the state of New Hampshire, and they have no sales tax and no income tax. So for the purposes of my tax attorney, I'm not going to confirm nor deny that I may have moved slightly across the border, okay. But I'm still in the greater Boston. I still watch Boston news television every morning. And I still write for the Boston Herald every week.
So you haven't established the independent Republic of Michael Graham like they have in Seattle yet, no?
No, there is no Chaz Graham, which is my bad French way of saying my house.
Okay,
It is not there. And we were really worried because, you know, for a while there was Chaz, and then there was talk about changing the name to CHOP, the Capitol Hill, which is the neighborhood.
Yes.
Capitol Hill. Ongoing protest or something like that, but it's we don't know. They'll figure it out. It'll be fine. And you know what's so funny is the people in the U.S. who are on the left know that what Chaz is doing is bad for them. They know that the small number of people in the Black Lives Matter movement who are aligned with a group that calls themselves Antifa, anti-fascists, who are committing violence, they know that those extremists are bad for them. But they just can't bring themselves to condemn them because those Chazzercisers and those, you know, Antifa idiots, I was going to use, this is a podcast. I could say bad words, but anyway,
it's an Irish podcast. You can say
good point. But they know that those people are bad for them, but they hate Trump so much. They just love the overt Trump hatred. So they cannot bring themselves to condemn them. Inside there's the little inner Chazzer that just wants to get out. So they write their op-eds for the New York Times. Right? This is not the appropriate way to resist, but they can't stand up and say, are you guys idiots? You can't just take over part of a city. You can't burn down police stations. You can't beat the crap out of people because they hold an American flag, but they all want to do all those things. So they can't quite condemn them.
Of course. And it would be coming very, very dangerously close for them to admit that they might have been wrong about something. So,
we can't
have that on the left.
Definitely
that's,
not.
That's unheard of. So the best I've heard of a few names for the Chaz area. The best two I've heard so far are the Soviet Union and, and Veganzuela.
I like both of those.
They're both excellent. So I hope you manage to sneak those into some U.S. podcast somewhere.
I will shamelessly steal those. Absolutely. Yes. Well, the plagiarism has already begun.
It has. I didn't come up with them. So carry on the stealing. It's fine.
So if you gave Ireland the choice of either government by Trump or government by Chaz, what would the majority of Irish choose?
Dear God. Oh, my God. Oh, I didn't even want to think about that. Oh.
Well, the reason I ask is because that's what the Trump faction is hoping they can turn the 2020 election into. They really want to make it just like as it was in 2016. Yeah. For people who wonder, and I can't imagine why you haven't figured out yet, but if there are still any people in Ireland who haven't figured out yet how Trump won, the answer is easy. Hillary Clinton.
Yeah,
that's that simple. She was an awful, awful person. She was an awful politician, and she was aligned with other awful people. And so people said, Americans said, you know, this Trump guy, TV guy, how much bad can he do? I know how much bad Hillary can do. And so he won a narrow electoral college victory. They want to do the same thing. The problem they have is that now people have seen how awful Trump is at being president for 3.5 years. So just being up against Hillary isn't enough. They need an opponent who's even more unacceptable than Hillary. They didn't know where they were going to find one. And suddenly the Chads movement appeared. Yes, exactly, exactly.
But the Democrats did their best, in fairness and I, by putting Biden up. Because, I mean, yes, we know, well, most of us know that Hillary was the reason Trump is president. But,
right.
You know, how difficult was it for the Democrats to actually not realize this and then go, okay, all we have to do is put someone with half a brain who can talk to people and doesn't come off very weird, and we won. Right. Like, it's the easiest election to win in US history, securely. And they're going to manage to lose it.
It's, well, I don't know. It's too early to say, and we'll talk about that in a second. But I will say, I'm kind of surprised. Well, I take it back. A sign of how weak the political parties are in the U.S. is the fact that you didn't end up with a nominee like Senator Amy Klobuchar of Minnesota. Because, you know, Biden has problems. He has all kinds of problems. He has woke problems, you know, Black Lives Matter problems because of his long career as a U.S. senator in a state that is, it wasn't in the old Confederacy, but it's right on the border of North and South. And so he's back some things that in the, you know, era of 2020 are problematic. He has problems in that his record, because he was in, think about this. He first was elected to the U.S. Senate when Richard Nixon was reelected in 1972. That's how long this guy's been around. So he has problems. And then he has performance problems. And I don't mean that in a blue pill way. He has some problems that he has a difficult time with some of the more complicated questions he gets, like, who are you? Why are you here? And so he's in a sense, he's a good nominee, then that he's, you know, not going to do anything. In a sense, though, he brings all kinds of baggage. Someone like Senator Klobuchar, for the modern Democratic Party, moderate, middle of the road, from a Midwestern state, she would be so boring to run against. She doesn't have any of the, she has very little baggage. She has a couple things. She had some prosecutor issues, in fact, related back to the Minnesota deal. But someone like that is, you're right, that is the win. Just find some, here's a person who under normal circumstances would be a president. There is Donald Trump, under normal circumstances would be in, you know, custody. What's your choice? And Democrats are in danger of losing that because Biden is such a loose wheel.
Yes. But what our Irish listeners, if we have any, might be surprised to hear is that you've never really been a Trump fan, of course. Sure you haven't. And
no.
Don't think he's been a good president, which I would sort of tend to agree with. The only thing I do like about Trump is that he really pisses off all the right people.
Exactly. Bingo. You're absolutely right. But look, there's two things that are going on. One is, if you look at the policy stuff that the White House has been generating, it's fine. It's pretty standard Republican stuff, except the trade thing. You know, he's very anti-trade. Well, it's an anti-trade moment, you know, and so it's, you know, it's not a bad thing for a political party to, you know, sway with the breeze. That's their job, is to get votes. So, but, you know, the judges that he's appointed are the kind of judges that, you know, a typical Republican would appoint. The tax policy is a tax policy of a typical, you know, Republican. There's that level. Then there's the way Trump is being president, which is just a radioactive nuclear Hiroshima meets Godzilla disaster. It is horrifying.
If only we had some evidence of that he might be like this over the last 20 years of him being on TV or something.
Bingo,
like that.
Bingo. He's never stopped being Donald Trump. That's the one thing that everyone's got to stop being Donald Trump. And most of the time, you don't want a person to be themselves. You want a person to be the president. It's a thing. You know what I mean? You have the ceremony in the White House for a reason, because you're no longer you. You're now this representation of the nation. So he's, you know, that's his other problem. Then you add this third thing, which is the coronavirus crisis, for which he is utterly unprepared. The coronavirus crisis is complicated. It involves math. You have to be patient. I mean, all these things are not the anti-Trump. I mean, just it's none of it. It's all kryptonite all day. And then the Black Lives Matter thing, which at this moment, he's so bad at handling. You know, there was a time a year ago when he was working through something that the U.S. calls criminal justice reform, having to do with how many people are in prison, how long are they there? Are there certain crimes where you should not go to prison? You should get some other treatment. And he worked this big thing. Kanye was on it. What's the TV show, ladies?
Kardashians.
Yeah, they were all on board, and it was a thing. And if at that moment something had happened, Trump possibly could have said, look, I get you. I feel you. I'm not like those Republicans, because everyone agrees he's not really a Republican. He's a Trump.
Yeah.
And maybe he could have used his personal, you know, TV show skills, whatever, and navigated that. But in the middle of a partisan fight with his poll numbers tanking and with the COVID crisis on him, he doesn't have any bandwidth for anything other than to be his worst Trumpian self.
Yeah. But it still might win. That's the thing.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, and if it wins, it will be. Do you remember the old TV show? Hollywood Squares. They put the celebrities up.
We didn't have that. It was called something else over here. I can't remember, but yes, I know the one you're talking about.
Yeah, and so you would pick the one of the key moves, Paul Lynde, the. Never knew why he was famous, but for whatever reason, he was famous. He was always in the center square, and it'd be Paul Lynde to block. Try to block the person from getting there, tic-tac-toe. Yes. It will be Donald Trump to block. It won't be voting for Trump. It'll be voting to stop the crazy that's coming from elsewhere. That is the only way that Trump wins. Before COVID, you could have said, And a lot of smart people I know were saying, look, it's not going to matter now. If we go to November and unemployment's, 3% and growth is 3% and, Black and Hispanic employment is at record highs, people are going to say, I don't like the guy either, but damn, we can't screw this up.
Yeah. Do you think the Democrats actually, they thought before COVID, they thought we're never really going to win this. So we might as well just throw Biden to the wolves, and hopefully Trump makes such a complete mess of things that we'll have an assured landslide in 4 years' time?
I think they thought he's going to lose all along.
They are that stupid, really. Yeah.
Is it stupid? I mean, his poll numbers have been not great. He's been underwater. He's been more unpopular than popular his entire presidency.
Yeah,
and his win the time before was improbable. Trump is an improbable character. People like Trump just don't get elected president of the United States, and which is why it's happened once. And so when you're the oddball and the outlier, the idea that you're going to roll snake eyes back to back is the math is not on your side.
Yeah, although celebrities get elected, surely Obama got elected for being nothing else other than a celebrity.
No, that's not true. He represented a historic moment. He gave Americans an opportunity to do something that they've wanted to do a long time, which is to show that America is a place where a Black person can be elected president, which, of course, it was all along. If Colin Powell had run for president in 1996, he would have been elected president probably. Attitude about, oh my gosh, look what Obama did. Americans were waiting to do that. They were ready. They just needed someone who was not, someone like the, Reverend Jesse Jackson, who before Obama was the most successful African-American candidate for president. Jesse Jackson just isn't a, unifying staple national figure. Barack Obama, he was academically well educated. You couldn't deny that. He gave a great speech. He was a senator for about 45 minutes and didn't screw anything up. And people were like, oh, okay. Plus, they were mad. They were sick of what they'd had. We had the economic Obama's numbers really picked up after the financial crash. There's a question about what would have happened if there hadn't been a financial crash, if Americans would have said, you just need a little more experience, and he would have lost a narrow election. I don't know. The other thing that's hard to do is for a party in power that wins two terms in the White House to hand over the White House for another term.
Yeah.
It happened in 1988, when after two terms of Reagan, you got H.W. Bush, and that was only because Reagan was wildly popular. Yeah. You then have to go back to World War II, which really doesn't count because, H.E.R. died in office, and so Truman, was already serving as president. Yeah. And then you have to go back to, 18-something. I mean, it's Americans don't do that a lot. They don't keep you know, the party in power for more than a term. And the other thing for the political junkies is we've only had one other time in history where you had three consecutive presidents who served two full terms back to back to back. And that was back when we had Jefferson, Madison, Monroe. If Trump is able to get reelected, he will be the fourth president in a row to serve back, you know, two full terms. Yeah, we've never had that happen. And the reason I bring that up is it's so easy to get caught up in the specific details of what's the fight right now. The fight right now is whatever, you know, COVID, should you have shut things down? You know, Black Lives Matter. What should you do about police reform? But there are these other forces that are just rolling along, you know, forces like, I'm just ready for a change. I'm just tired. I want it different. You know, things have gotten different. Those, you know, people like to say that they think their way into their votes, into the living, but they don't. People feel their way into their living, and then they figure out a way to justify it after the fact. And it could just be the case that you just aren't going to have this much. You're not going to reelect a guy, any guy or gal, under these circumstances. So we'll see.
Yeah. I have my own personal opinion. I think there's going to be, well, who knows? I mean, it's November. The way things have been going this year so far, who knows what will happen between that and then.
Yeah, the Mayan calendar says we're not even going to make it to November. And at this point, I'm not arguing. The Mayans could be totally right about this.
Yeah, I think you'll have probably one of the lowest turnouts ever in a U.S. election. Mm-hmm. Although, said that, the way things are going, you might get 100% turnout because things could change that quickly. But I think if it sort of remains sort of the way it is, I think you might have one of the lowest turnouts. Because I'd say a lot of people going, you know, I voted for Trump. I didn't want Hillary. I don't really want more Trump, but I can't be bothered voting for Biden. And then just let someone else sort it out.
I don't know. You might be right, but there's a lot of anti-Trump sentiment out there. Yeah. And we had huge turnout for the 2018 off-term, you know, elections and midterm elections. So I don't. So you might be. In the era of whatever this is that we've pretty much been living in since the Great Recession. I don't know what the hell's going to happen. I'm not making predictions. I was the wrongest person about Trump. I didn't think Trump could win the nomination. No way, no how. Yeah. Once he won it, I said he's guaranteed to lose the presidency. He'll lose 40 states. Not a chance. I was so sure he couldn't be president. I'm not making this up, Gareth. I lived in D.C. I was working for the now defunct anti-Trump magazine, the Weekly Standard, at the time, and doing some other stuff. And so I woke up the morning of the inauguration. And I looked at my wife. I said, I wonder what's going to happen today. She goes, what is going to happen today? Trump's going to get sworn in. I said, no way. That can't happen. There is no way Trump can be president. I mean, I don't know. Maybe the aliens who have taken over are going to beam down, or it's going to be like that Mission Impossible movie where he pulls off the mask and it turns out that it's, you know, somebody else. But there's no way that Donald freaking Trump is going to be president of the freaking United States. And that's how wrong I was. So yeah. What do I know?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's probably still easier to make predictions about it than it is to predict Irish politics, though.
I can't figure out what the hell you guys are doing. I mean, this whole mashup thing you're doing just makes no sense at all to me. But it is a reminder of something that we in America talk about all the time, which is that there are no political parties in Ireland. There's just a couple of clubs. And, you know, it's like the... Remember that classic Star? Now we're going way, way back, Gareth. The classic Star Trek first edition episode where the planet's having a civil war, and half the people on the planet are white on the left and black on the right, and the other side are black on the right and white on the left. And that's you guys. It's just like, why are you even fighting? You all agree on everything. We could never have a Republican Democrat coalition in the U.S. because the two parties actually have different ideas, really different ideas that they believe in.
Yeah, and, yeah. The weird thing is here, the two parties actually fought the Civil War in way less time than your two parties fought them. Like, this was only 100 years ago.
Oh, good point.
So, you know, but now, so have you seen that last night, this morning, we had some new polls out? Have you seen, you didn't get the chance to see the polling data here?
No.
So, okay. So Fine Gael, who, you know, are in power or sort of in power or whatever, they have shot up in the polls. So they're now on 30. They're now on 37%, and Fianna Fáil are on 14%. So we have the situation which could only happen in Ireland, which is so we have a party currently on 37% in the polls, right, who are going to make their supposed mortal enemies currently on 14% in the polls, and they're going to make the leader of that party our Taoiseach. So it's just so never mind your Star Trek's
exactly stuff.
The Tribbles are in charge here.
The Tribbles something, are in charge. That's great.
Something is going. How can you explain? Right. I have a 9-year-old son who imagine trying to explain this politics in Ireland to him. I have no idea. You know.
Now, can I tell you who my Irish political hero is at the moment?
Go on.
Dublin South Central Member of Parliament, the Dáil, as George Hook used to say it to me, yes. Patrick Costello. He's the guy who, when they had the vote, didn't vote. And they said, well, why didn't you vote? Oh, you don't understand. I want to hear from my members before I decide. I can't just get out here and just lead. Are you crazy? Yes. They might not like it. So I need to go. That to me is politics in perfection right there. Just shamelessly admitting I'm not doing anything until I know what everyone wants me to do, and then please just tell me what to do. I'll just do it. Just tell me. It's like that the classic politician in the rural South who used to give these speeches, and something would come up that was very contentious. He'd say, well, some of the people are for it, some of the people are against it, and I'm with the people. And there you go. I love you. So way to go, Patrick Costello. Way to lead. I got to talk to these people. I don't know what's going on. That's excellent.
Well, he's a Green Party.
Yes, I know.
Person. So, you know, so yes, the Green Party, they decided, so they're going into, now you have to bear with me for a minute because
okay, I'm with you.
It's almost 3 p.m. here. So this might've changed since we started the podcast. I don't know. I'm not even sure if Google will update this stuff quick enough or not. But so the Green Party knew they were going, they're also going into government. They're
exactly
having to talk with the other guys. They knew they were doing all this. But part of something to do with their Green Party constitution meant that they needed to have a leadership election around about this time. So they decided that, some of them decided, well, look, that's a bit silly. Just leave that. We'll park that for a little while and we'll go into government and then we'll sort all that. But then the other ones decided, no, we have to do this because it's in the thing. So someone else, she put her name forward for the leadership of the Greens. Right. That I'm not sure that's either going ahead or it's not going ahead or it might have happened or it might not have happened. I'm not sure which parallel universe it is we're in at the moment, but it's there somewhere. So the Greens are being Greens, and they are deciding either to be the Judean People's Front or the People's
Exactly. Bingo.
Depending on what day it is. Some of them are splitting, some of them are not. But so Patrick, yes, is being the perfect Green in that I'll decide what to do whenever someone else decides for me.
Exactly. And also, if you notice this, that parties like the Green Party in Europe, parties like the, well, we don't really have any third parties worth mentioning, but they always do better when they're not governing. I'll give an example. The Tea Party movement inside the Republican Party. And back in 2010, they elected a lot of members, and they got not really control of the party, but they had to play a role in control. They were kind of like the Fianna Fáil to the establishment's Fianna govern. Oh my God, the wheels completely came off. Standing outside and complaining and protesting and calling for ridiculous, impossible things, whether it's we're going to be all solar by Thursday or it's we're not going to ever have taxes ever again. It doesn't matter what the crazy is. These people are much better at, making alleged calls to principle than they are than actually governing. Governing is hard. You don't have the luxury of, keeping your little Green Party pin, perfectly shiny at 100% at all times. You got to cut deals to get stuff done.
Yes. Well, Patrick Costello is in the same constituency. It's actually next door to me. Where he has he has a People Before Profit Party member there. So, and then another People Before Profit Party member. She's famous. She's famous for, I don't know if you know, but we used to have a huge big factory for Dell here in Limerick. So we used to make most of the Dell computers.
Sure.
And so Dell decided to leave and go to Poland or somewhere, something.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So her solution for this, of course, is she famously stood up and said she would nationalize Dell.
But that must have been news. So the people in their corporate headquarters, wherever they were, they must have been shot. I think the next thing that Ireland should do is nationalize Coca-Cola.
Well,
that would be the next move.
No, Amazon. Surely Amazon.
Oh, yes, Joe, absolutely. Yeah, much better. Much better. Yes.
Amazon or Apple, because we still have that whole 13 billion euro bill.
Good point. That's definitely should do that.
Yes.
So here's the headline from America that I'd like to get your reaction to. There are more people getting unemployment benefits than there are unemployed workers, CNBC reports. This has government officials puzzled, close quote. As a guy who lives in Massachusetts, I'm not puzzled by this at all.
Well,
in Massachusetts, this is standard operating procedure that you have more people collecting unemployment than you have unemployed people.
Only a government worker could be confused by this.
Exactly.
No one outside of the civil service could ever be confused by this. This doesn't confuse anyone but a government worker.
We had
a politician here, I think it might have been last week, who made the cardinal sin of hinting towards the truth about something. And it was along the same lines of this. So I have a friend whose son was working one day a week in a hotel before his son's 18, whatever. He was working one day a week in a hotel, just part-time, make a few quid for the summer. And obviously the hotel closed down. So what happened was everyone here then got €350 per week unemployment benefit. So he went from working one day a week, earning €100 or something like that, but had been doing it enough to qualify for the... So he went, so I said, well, how's your son coping? I met him to play golf. I said, how's your son? How's everyone coping with the thing? He said, well, I have an 18-year-old home and he's fucking loving every minute of it. he's getting 350 quid a week for doing nothing. He sits up all night. He stays in bed till 4. And he's going to have, at the end of the summer, he's going to have a fortune to go and go on a mad holiday with. And so we had a government, some politician who did say last week, sort of hinted towards, you know, some people are actually better off under this. And the wolves were set upon her. How dare you say people are suffering, people are dying, people are this. And of course, no doubt people are. Thankfully, personally, I managed to keep my job because I couldn't have survived. I have to pay rent in Dublin, which is, which is ridiculous. So I
can't imagine.
So, you know, there are people who are suffering, but there are also people who are doing bloody well out of it. And why aren't we stopping this? But you can't. That's dangerously close to telling the truth. And we'll have none of that in Ireland. Thank you very much.
Absolutely. I've never gotten nearly in as much trouble for lying as I've gotten into for telling the truth.
Yes.
Absolutely. That's the absolute cardinal rule of life. Yeah. Well, this has been fun. You do this all the time?
I just started. You're the third guest. Thank you very much.
Okay.
I don't know if you'd heard or you're aware of Gripped. It was just started by a few Irish people who were sick of the usual left-wing bias in all the Irish media. So this is just a self-funded way. Gripped is only funded by donations. I don't get paid for this or anything. I just give my time, much as you do. Thank you very much. And
my pleasure.
Hopefully, maybe sometime in the future, we might have a chat again. But what are you doing with yourself these days in the States?
So I'm now in the world of largely of print. There's a company called Inside Sources that creates content for about 300 newspapers around the country because the newspaper industry here, you know, Ireland, you guys have this massive news industry. Ours has been shrinking for a while and now it's in real crisis. So a lot of newspapers just can't afford writers and reporters. So we provide content for them. And I have somehow stumbled into being the managing editor of this thing. So I write and send people off to write and keep an eye on things and try to prevent. We have across the board, our goal is to have everybody speak from the far left to the far right. So we have lots of opinion content, but we also do news. And someone asked me, are you biased? And I said, well, we're as biased as the New York Times. And it was a liberal who asked this and they went, oh, okay. So they totally get it, that there's no unbiased news. But here's my take, and I recommend this for everybody about how to look at the world of media, which is a mess right now, and we really need it because we need information. And you know this, Gareth, if you're looking at a story, you're researching up to interview a guest or whatever, there are 10 facts that are worth talking about, but usually you only have time to get to five.
Yeah,
it's the question is, what five are you going to pick? And that when people say, oh, the media, it's whatever, you know, biased, it's run by this, run by that. I say, no, it's, I mean, I get what you're saying, but the real issue is just capacity. They can only get five facts in. So our bias and inside sources is that we pick the five facts that don't get reported, that get left on the table. So it's not really hard work. Other people aren't covering it. Yeah. So we just make sure that the information is there. And by the way, those at no time do I ever present that the five facts that we report on are the five definitive facts. All the facts are interesting. They all go into processing and trying to figure out what makes sense or not. It's just that as you can see in your press, and it's true here too, the same five facts get reported again and again, and the other five get it completely ignored. And so it's hard to hold a grip on reality, broadly speaking, when you can't get all the data in. So that's what I do. And I still write for the Boston Herald and I do some other nonsense here and there, but that's what I'm up to.
Well, that's fantastic. If any of you is listening, ever get the chance to listen to Michael on the airwaves, always do it, please, because he's always hilarious. He's always brilliant. And what we do is we finish up on, there'd be people listening to this from the UK and from outside of Ireland who won't know your infinite. Michael is very famous in Ireland because he once had a conversation with El Presidente here. So for those of you who don't actually know, our president in Ireland is, I have to be very careful here in case I get sent to the gulag. But
exactly.
Yeah, so yeah, he's slightly to the left of Stalin. And Michael had a famous run in with him once, and what did he call you, Michael?
Am I allowed to say it? I always never know with you guys.
You can say he said it.
He accused me of being a wanker whipping up fear. Indeed. And it's been seen on YouTube about a bazillion times. What bugs me is they leave out my part. Like they don't never include what I was saying that he was responding to. The conversation, this is goes way back. The Iranians tried to sneak some weapons into Israel, you know, for the terrorists, and Israel stopped them. And I was defending Israel for stopping them.
I know.
I was just talking about the obvious issues there, and he went off on this long tirade that was beautiful. I think it's wonderful. I listened to it 50 times. He's just great. He's in the zone. Just, why do you have to be this wanker whipping up fear? And so there's a huge roar from the crowd at the King's Head in Galway. And when they die down, I go, you know, I knew that there would be some wildly uninformed opinions being expressed during the show today. I just thought they'd be from me. And I thought it was a pretty good line. I got a nice laugh. But once again, they always cut that out, too.
Yeah,
keep my laugh. I don't mind the attack. Just keep my punchline. That's all I want.
Well, I mean, you have to be in a very, very small group of people who have been called a wanker by a president.
My favorite was when he ran the first time and it became a campaign issue, and I was getting all these calls from Irish media about how do you feel about me. I said, trust it, being called a wanker was the nicest thing I got called that day. Trust me. Absolutely.
Well, I mean, think about it now. If Trump calls you a wanker, you're probably set for life in the celebrity
set for life.
Sex.
Be done. So,
we can all look forward to the day when the president calls us a wanker. Michael, thank you very much. I honestly can't thank you enough. It's been an absolute pleasure. Little did I know when I listened to you all those years ago that I'd end up speaking to you someday. I'd be delighted to have you back. You're welcome whenever you want to come. And good luck with everything you're doing at the minute.
Thanks so much. I appreciate it.